Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown."
Well, thank you, Angela. We're going to look at that passage in a minute. For those that don't know me, my name's John. I'm part of the staff team here. And in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be thinking about some of the parables from Mark chapter 4. And if Mark's new to you, this is a chapter we're jumping in at, which is Jesus' ministry is in full swing. Mark is telling the news about Jesus and explaining who he is, why he's come, and what it means to follow after him. And at this point, Jesus is teaching about what it is to listen to him. So let's pray again as we come to that word. Father, we acknowledge that as we come to your word, it is a wonderful thing because we get to listen to your voice. We get to hear you address us, to speak into our lives as one who knows us better than we do and is able to address us in a way that we need to hear this morning, and we thank you for that. But at the same time, it's also an awesome thing and a sobering thing, because as you speak, you don't waste your breath, and what you say really matters. And the words that we're going to think about this morning, we must listen to. So please, as we've prayed in that song, would you speak, but would you help us listen? And would you plant your truth deep in our hearts? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, are you a good listener? I was reading this week online, and one life coach suggested that these are some of the traits of really good listeners. Good listeners make eye contact. It's good to see some of that this morning. They pay attention. They don't interrupt. hopefully again this morning. They stay focused. This one's optional. They take notes. And a random one, use whiteboards. And disappointed that there are no whiteboards here this morning. As you hear that list, how do you match up? Are you a good listener? Well, I think, as I thought about this week, it depends on what we're listening to. Because sometimes we can be really bad listeners, can't we? Recently, I was on a flight, and at the end of the briefing at the beginning on safety details, I realised I hadn't taken in one word of what was said. You've been there before, you've heard it, and you just let it pass over you. Or another one, maybe this one's familiar. This one often happens with me and Anne, where somebody has shared something important with you, you've nodded along, and actually, you haven't really taken in one word of what they said. And as they reach the end of their story, you realise that you're meant to make a response, and you don't know what response you're meant to make, whether you're meant to say yes or no, whether you're meant to say, that's terrible or that's wonderful. And so you've got a decision to make. Do you guess and risk getting it wrong? Or do you hold up your hands and say, I wasn't listening? We can be bad listeners, can't we? But we can be good listeners. And how different it is when your boss says, come into my office, there's something I need to tell you. All ears then. Or when the test results come back and the doctor says, you might like to sit down before I tell you what they say. You see, how well we listen depends on what we're listening to and how important we think it is. And this morning, our passage asks us the same question. How good are we at listening when it comes to Jesus' words? As he speaks, do his words get our full attention or just the husband's nod as we let them pass us by? Because the way we listen shows how important we think his words are. And so as we look at the passage, as we think about listening, I just want to ask us two questions as we look through those verses. And the first is this. As Jesus speaks, what are his words doing to you? As Jesus speaks, what are his words doing to you? As we enter the story in verse 1, Mark sets the scene for us. Jesus is teaching to a crowd by the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And in the early chapters of Mark, Galilee is where Jesus' ministry has been focused. As he's travelled around the towns of that region, he has taught, he's performed miracles, and Jesus has become popular by this point. People want to listen to him, and so they gather and crowd around him. And Mark tells us on this day that so many people gathered to listen to Jesus teach that he had to get into a boat and go out onto the sea to make room for them to line up on the shore and to listen to what he had to say. And as the crowd lined up and pushed forward to listen to him, verse 2, Mark says that Jesus taught them many things by parables. Now, if you read through the Gospels, you'll quickly find that they're full of parables. And perhaps you know some of these stories. The parable of the lost sheep, the good Samaritan, the wise and the foolish builders. This is how Jesus loved to speak, in parables. Stories that captured everyday life really vividly, but at the same time contained hidden meaning, depth below the surface to be searched out. And to this crowd, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And it's a nice story, isn't it? Perhaps you're familiar with it and have heard it before. A farmer goes out, he scatters his seeds, and it falls on four types of soil. And as the seed falls, some of it grows, but most of it doesn't. And for those who are listening, this story would have been very familiar. People who knew what farming was really well, they knew that when you sowed the seeds, you got mixed responses, mixed results. And perhaps if you're in the crowd at this point, you'd be starting to wonder why you came. Was it really worth skipping work, travelling all this way to the lake, pushing yourself to the front, just to hear Jesus talk about farming? It doesn't seem like groundbreaking teaching. It doesn't look like it's that important to hear, at least on the surface. But Jesus thinks differently. Look at what he says before he gives the parable. Verse 3, he said, listen. And then down at verse 9, after he shared the parable, Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. You see, this story is far more than what it looks to be on the surface. This is a parable that everyone needs to listen to carefully. And Jesus uses a strange phrase there as he urges the crowd to have ears that hear. Having ears is not enough. They must be ears that really hear what he has to say. Because it's possible to have ears and not to hear. It's possible to have been at the lake and have heard everything that Jesus said, but at the same time not really to have heard him at all, and to miss the meaning that this parable contains. And sadly, that day at the lake, many people who were there heard, but didn't have ears to hear. For most of them, this just remained a story. They turned up, they got their farming advice, and they went home none the wiser. They had ears, but not ears to hear. But as Mark goes on, he shows us that there were some that day who listened differently. Look down to verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others asked the others around him asked him about the parables. For some in the crowd, the disciples and a few others, what Jesus had said at the lake had raised some questions in their mind. And so they come to him for answers. They have ears and they want to hear. And in time, Jesus is going to explain the parable to them. But before he does, first Jesus explains why he uses parables. He uses parables because they divide people. Let's read verse 11 and 12 again. Jesus told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." I'll just say those are hard words and difficult to understand, and I think what I'm going to say now probably doesn't get to the bottom, but I hope it's helpful. In these verses, Jesus describes two groups of people, those on the inside and those on the outside. And those on the inside are the ones to whom the secret of the kingdom of God is given. They're those who seek an explanation, like the disciples and the others in the crowd, and are enabled to see below the surface of the parable and to understand what Jesus is saying. But those on the outside, they're the ones from whom the secret of the kingdom remains hidden. They're those who don't seek an explanation. And as a result, the truth of the parable remains locked up. They hear Jesus, but they don't understand what he's saying. And to make his point here, Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah, who spoke in the Old Testament. He was sent out to prophesy at a time when God's people had turned against him. And he was sent to preach a message of both judgment and salvation, a warning that God's judgment was coming on the people who had turned away from God, but at the same time holding out forgiveness to them, that if they would listen and receive it, they could be forgiven. But as Isaiah is sent, God tells him that these people will see but not perceive. They'll hear, but they'll not understand. And although forgiveness is offered and held out to them, they will not turn back and take it. Because as Isaiah brings God's word to them, the message that could draw them close to God and save them if they listened will actually drive them further from him and confirm them in their judgment. And that's exactly what happened. And in the same way, this is what Jesus is saying his parables are doing. As people listen to him, one of two things is happening. His words are either drawing them in to seek to understand and to know more, or they are pushing people away from him as they fail to look below the surface to see what he's really saying. And so at the lake that day, Jesus' words were dividing the crowd. And although his parables held out truth freely for all, they also concealed that truth so that only those who asked were able to understand. And as a result, for many, the secrets stayed secrets as they stayed on the outside. But for some, those who asked, They were brought onto the inside to see and to understand. And this is what is happening every time that Jesus teaches. This is what is going on right now this morning in this room as we look at those words. Jesus' words are dividing us. That's what they're doing to us. And for some of us, they're drawing us closer to Jesus to listen with ears that hear. But at the same time, for some of us, they are pushing us away as we shut our ears, as we hear, but we fail to listen. And so the first question that this passage asks us this morning is this. As you listen to Jesus, what are his words doing to you? Are you, like the crowd, content to hear without seeking to understand? You see, just like them, it's easy to hear Jesus, to turn up at church, to read in the Bible, to be familiar with what he said, and to let his words have a place in our lives. But it's equally easy at the same time to hear all these things and, like the crowd, to fail to truly understand them. Because we never stopped to think what they really meant. We never thought to ask if they really mattered. And we never did anything about the things that we heard. Friends, what Jesus says always matters. It always does. The secrets of the kingdom that Jesus' parables are about are the most important things. They speak of life and death, heaven and hell, judgment, forgiveness. And if we're content to stay in the dark about things like that, then we leave ourselves in a dangerous place. We cut ourselves off from Jesus and from the salvation and the rescue that he offers to us. And so this morning we need to ask, are we like the crowds, content to hear, but fail to understand? Or are we like the disciples, eager to understand what we hear? Not just content to let his words watch over us, but hungry to know the meaning, to really hear what Jesus has to say to us. And if that's you this morning, well, the promise of these verses is for you. That if you come to Jesus and ask to understand, he will help you. That if you draw near to him, the secrets of the kingdom will no longer be secret. That he will open our hearts, open our minds, and give us understanding. Whilst Jesus' truth is easy to miss, it is never hard to find. It's never far from reach. And it's given to everyone who asks. Now, a couple of weeks ago, me and Anne and the family visited Italy. And for most of the trip, we were with Italian speakers. And for me, someone who doesn't speak Italian, that meant that a lot of what was said made no sense whatsoever to me. I got the occasional word like gelato, prosciutto, and pizza. The important things. But most of it, I didn't understand. I was on the outside. And I could have stayed there. On the outside, if I wanted to, and nodded along, but stayed in the dark. But with a wife who speaks Italian, it was possible for me to come onto the inside, to hear and to understand, if I was not too proud to ask for help. And in the same way, as we hear Jesus, we may struggle to understand, but we don't need to stay in the dark. If we'll overcome our pride, if we'll just ask him to help us, Jesus promises to help us to see. And so this morning, will you ask, will you seek, will you come to Jesus to understand? As you hear Jesus' words, what are they doing to you? But second, as Jesus speaks, what are you doing with Jesus' words? Now, having explained the purpose of his parables, Jesus moves on to explain what his parable of the sower means. And as he begins, verse 13, look at what he says. He says, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" This parable is really important because of what it's about. In verse 14, Jesus begins by explaining that the seed represents the word, his words. And Jesus, as the farmer, is the one scattering his word far and wide as he teaches. And the four soils represent different groups of people who receive the same words but respond differently. And very simply, what this parable shows us is that it is impossible to listen to Jesus' words and not to respond to them in some way. The question when Jesus speaks is not, will we respond, but how will we respond? Because as the seed of Jesus' words falls on us, we will be one of these four soils. And that's why Jesus says this parable is vital, because it sees us, helps us to see how we are listening to him. But it also shows to us how we ought to listen to him. So let's look at these four responses and let's see which kind of soil we are this morning. So first, verse 15. Jesus asks if we're like those along the path. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Those on the path are people whose response is to make no response. And it's not that these people don't hear Jesus. They do. The seed falls on them like all the other soils. But the difference is that they do nothing with what they hear. The words just sit there, untouched, on the surface of their lives. And when this happens, well, Mark says, Satan wastes no time. As the enemy of understanding, he's there in an instant, sweeping down like a bird to devour the seed and to take it away before it can do any good at all. See, Jesus says it's possible to hear his words and to gain nothing from them, to be like the path. And this morning, is this you? Are you like the path? Perhaps, like many, you find Jesus' words interesting. You're prepared to respect him as a teacher and to listen to what he says. And perhaps deep down you know that his words matter and they call for action. But if you're honest, as you hear his words, they just don't have any effect on you at all. They don't change the way you think or what you do or how you live your life. They just sit there, untouched, on the surface, for another day. A less busy week, for a time when you really need them. Not now. Well, if this is you, Jesus warns you. If you hear my words and you do nothing with them, they'll be gone. Gone before you know it. Snatched away before they can do any good at all. Food for the birds. With no guarantee that you're going to get to hear them again. You see, it's a dangerous thing to be the path. But Jesus also asks, second, if we're like the rocky ground. Look at verse 16 again. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Here the response looks more promising than on the path. These people listen to Jesus. They welcome his words gladly and they begin to grow. But only for a short time, because as we read on, as the heat comes because of Jesus, when following him begins to cost something, these people wither away and they fall away. And the reason why? Well, verse 17 tells us, since they have no roots, they last only a short time. For these people, Jesus' words have been received, but they've not gone deep. And as they've remained just below the surface of their lives, accepted but only just, no real change has been made deep down. And so at first, when life was good, when all seemed well, these words were great. But the moment when these words caused trouble, when it hurt and cost something to follow Jesus, they gave it all up. Because the word had no root in their lives. It withered away. And so again, this morning, Jesus asks, Are you the rocky soil? Are you happy to listen to Jesus when he tells you what you want to hear? To follow him when he leads you where you want to go? And to stand up and be counted as his when it suits you to do that? But actually, when it costs, you're nowhere. When his views bring opposition, you let go of them. When his path leads you to suffering and sacrifice, you choose your path. And when believing his words threatens your job or your relationships or anything else, then they're just dispensed with. You see, it's easy to love Jesus and to love his words when it costs nothing. But it's only those who have a root, and let them find a root in their hearts, that will hold on to them when it's hard to believe. And so perhaps this morning, you know this is you. Jesus' words just seem too hard to hold on to. And as you feel the heat, you're tempted to wither. Well, Jesus says the solution is not to stop listening, not to let go of his words and to wither and die, but to hold on to them more tightly, to push them down more deeply into your life, because they alone will be the root. They alone give the security to stand in this life, but more importantly, through this life and through death and into eternal life, even if they cost us now. Are we the rocky soil? But third, Jesus asks if we're the thorny soil. Verse 18 again. Again, here, to begin with, things look okay. The seed begins to grow. But so do the thorns. Verse 19. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Other things grow up alongside the word. And the problem here is not that people fail to give Jesus' words a place in their life. They do. The problem is that they fail to give his words the supreme place. His words are only heard alongside other competing voices. As worry seeks to define their lives, as money seeks to drive their lives, as other desires call for attention, Jesus says these things crowd in, and as they do, they choke out the word and they stop fruit from being produced. And so a third time Jesus asks, is this you? Are you the thorny soil? Are you happy to listen to Jesus but fail to make his voice supreme? What is it that competes for his voice in your life? Perhaps, like Jesus says, it's worry. Anxiety about health. Fear about the future. Struggles in the family. The exams that are looming in just a few weeks. Is it worry that gets the last word? Is it worry that consumes your mind instead of Jesus' words, whilst they're pushed aside? Or is it Jesus' words that still our worries? Or perhaps, like Jesus says, it's money. Enough money to get the house. Enough money to have the lifestyle. Enough to relax and not to worry anymore. Is it money that speaks loudest, setting priorities, defining goals, measuring success, as Jesus' words are choked? Or is it his words that rule our lifestyle, our wallet, our bank balance? Or perhaps other desires, the things we think we need and want at all costs, a relationship, success, appreciation, promotion, attention, security, whatever it is. Is it our desires that get to shape our lives? Or is it Jesus' words? Because if it's not, they're going to be choked out. Jesus warns us that if we let thorns grow up alongside his words, these things will slowly and surely choke out his words and prevent us from bearing fruit. And so this morning Jesus asked, do we need to go weeding in our lives to let his word speak as loudly as it should? But finally, Jesus asks if we're the good soil. The soil of verse 20, who are like seeds sown on good soil, who hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And here, as in every other case, the word is heard. But this time there's fruit. Unlike the path, these people don't leave Jesus' word on the surface. They take it in and hold on to it. Unlike the rocks, these people let the word go deep and find a root in their hearts that will last. And unlike the thorns, these people give Jesus' word center stage and root out any competition. And the result, as people welcome the word like this, the word bears fruit, much fruit. Verse 20 says 30 times, 60 times, 100 times what was sown, abundant harvest through listening to the word. And so a final time this morning, Jesus asks, is this you? Are you the good soil that welcomes his words and produces fruits? As you come on a Sunday, are you eager to receive the words that Jesus gives so that none of them fall on the floor? As you read the Bible, do you take time to press down what he says deep into the soil of your heart so that it has a root? And as you listen to Jesus, do you work hard to clear the ground of thorns, to make space so that his word can grow and produce the harvest that it will, if given space to do so? Jesus tells us that if we welcome his words like this, we are the good soil, and his words will do us good, produce the crop that he wants, and make us fruitful as he longs for us to be. And maybe this morning, some of us need calling to attention again. We know that we've not been listening well as he has been speaking to us. Perhaps we've let a few thorns grow up as we've turned down the volume on what he has to say and are starting to listen somewhere else. Or perhaps we've forgotten to take care of our roots and we're beginning to become weary of following him. Or maybe we've just got lazy and put the Bible on the shelf, and it's been weeks since we last opened it. Well, today Jesus calls us to wake up again and to return to his words, to be again the good soil and to produce the good fruit. Now this morning we thought a lot about the soils, but as we close, I just want us to look back up to the sower. Because this sower in the parable, Jesus, is a sower who, when faced with a sinful world, when faced with our wicked hearts and people who would rather shut their ears than listen to him, could have quite rightly kept his words to himself and have left us in the dark. But who instead generously came to scatter his seeds far and wide on good soil and bad soil. And astonishingly, this sower did not stop at just giving his word to us. He also gave his life for us. This is what Jesus says of himself in John's Gospel. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And if you read Mark's Gospel through, you see that Jesus is going to the cross. And at the cross, Jesus would become that seed that would fall to the ground and die, as he gave himself for people like us, who are bad soil and who fail to listen to what he has to say. But through that death, he produced many seeds, as by giving his life and rising again, he offers life and forgiveness to anyone who will listen and receive. And so today, as the good sower, He asks us to be part of his harvest, to come again and ask for forgiveness as we fail to be the good soil, and to receive his gift as life as he plants his word in us and enables us to produce fruit for him. And so this morning, as he speaks, are you listening? What are his words doing to you? And what will you do with his words? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the words that we've read this morning. We thank you that you are a God who speaks. You've spoken in your word and through Jesus Christ. And thank you that in him we see a sower who came to share his word with us and to give his life for us. And we pray that we would listen to him this morning. We pray that we would be the good soil. And Lord, where in our lives there are thorns that need to be pulled out, would you make it really clear to us and help us to come to you and ask for help to remove them. Father, where we are like the rocks and we feel the heat and we're tempted to give up, would you help us to push the seed down deeper? And would you do that so that we can have a root that stands? And Lord, we pray that you'd save us from being the path, that we wouldn't just have your words sit on us and do nothing at all. We pray that we'd receive it, take it down, and let it grow, and water it with all we can, trusting you to bring the growth. And Father, we pray that because you want us to be fruitful, and because we want to be fruitful. We pray that our lives might bear the fruit that brings glory to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.